leaders what? That's what leaders do. I've been saying that for years. I don't know where I came up with it. But leaders what? That's what leaders what? Do. Well, I'm a leader. I'll know if you're a leader if you leading. Amen? Because that's what leaders do. Leadership is more than position. A lot of people want position, but you're not a leader. Someone told me last week they didn't think everybody could be a leader. I don't agree with that. I don't believe everybody's going to run the company. I don't believe everybody is going to, you know, obviously there are different ways to lead. But I believe in the body of Jesus Christ, everybody can lead in some way, shape, or form. And I gave an example. Here's one example. Don't want to get ugly, but I'm going to go ahead and get ugly off the bat and then we'll get nice, all right? If somebody is gossiping and running their mouth about something that's not right, I believe anybody who's a leader can go up and say, you know what? You ought not say that. Why? I don't want to hear that. To me, that person can have all the position in the world that's gossiping, but the real leader is the one that says, hush your mouth. Did you hear what I just said? Yes or no? See, we can, yeah, praise the Lord. Come on. Listen. There's different ways to lead, guys. All of us can lead. We can lead in our families. We can lead at school. We can lead in our friendships. Friends, a lot of times, guys, they'll tell you, a lot of young people this morning, they'll say, hey, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this. Doesn't mean you can't be their friend, but sometimes you've got to just stand up and be the leader and say, you know, no, I don't want to do that. It's not right. Can we say those three words? It's not. How about can we say it again? It's not. That's it. To me, all of a sudden, you might not have been the most popular kid, but you were the leader. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Lead. And we can also lead by, hey, you know, I'd rather not do that, but how about if we go do this? Say, how about if we go do this? I went to the beach yesterday. Loved going to the beach. Saw this young man yesterday at the beach back here. Didn't I? Yeah, I did. I saw him there at the beach on his skim board, and he was skimming, baby. He was going into the waves. And you know what? Not getting into a bit of trouble. Having the time of his life. And I'm out there just looking at him and other kids I saw from our church out there skimboarding and just jumping in the water and having fun. I always loved it when Mitch wanted to go wakeboarding, skimboarding, or fishing. I figured, wow, that's a good way to maybe not get in too much trouble. Amen? Say. So, doesn't mean you can't have fun, guys, talking to kids right now, but stand up and be a leader. You hearing me, yes or no? Leaders lead. I believe everybody can be a leader in some aspect, and young or old, male or female. Amen? Let's go to the message now. That was just a little commercial. Here we go. Leaders lead. Today's message is called Give Up. It's a message on prioritizing, having priorities. That's what leaders do. First things first. Say that with me. First things first. Now let's go. We're going to come back to give up, but we're going to set the plate a little bit from last week so we can move forward. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, is calling for who? He's calling for leaders. And we saw that last week in the message called Rise Up. Next week's message is going to be Live Up. Don't have the message yet, but I got the title. Amen. And I got the idea. And so here we go. Last week we saw that this man Timothy, and don't get lost here by thinking this is about just Timothy. No, this is about you and it's about me. This is from the Bible. The book of 1 Timothy was written to a man named, guess who? Timothy! Yeah, there's his name right on it. Didn't mean he wrote the book. It was actually written to him from the Apostle Paul. And Timothy wanted to be a leader. Jesus was calling for leaders, and he wanted to be a leader. He was a young man. Let's learn a little bit again. He was younger than most of the church leaders. Doesn't mean he was a teenager, but he was not one of the old elders. You understand? He was younger, and sort of looked down on because of his youth. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. Couldn't find any better. He had a passion for people. He loved people. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Say. Instead of cheering him on, they're putting him down. He was the follow-up pastor at the church of Ephesus. And who was the pastor before him? The great who? Apostle Paul. Woo! That's part of his problem right there. He won't who? Paul. Okay? So he had a rough go of it. And Timothy was easily what? Now say that word again. He was easily and mainly because of people problems. How many in your life, in your home, your marriage, your work, your somewhere along the way, you've been discouraged at some time by people? Can I see your hand? Oh, yeah. How many have ever quit something that was a good thing because of people? See that? People problems. Okay? You think anybody ever took their life, their own life, because of a person? Yes or no? You think anybody ever got drunk because of a person? Took some drugs because of a person? I mean, in their mind. Yes or no? People problems. How can I lead and be a leader even when I'm discouraged? Because discouragement is part of real life. Dealing with people is part of real life. And that's something that leaders start to understand. Amen? So let's go with just moving forward now. In chapter 1 last week, we saw two major things that Timothy was commanded to do. If you're going to be a leader, and I'm specifically talking about a spiritual leader, leading for the Lord, but we've already established young, old men, women can be leaders, right? Absolutely. So two things we saw that Timothy was commanded to do, but this is something you should do and I should do. I went through the deepest part of discouragement in my life a little over 2 years ago. Something horrible happened to me. It was terrible. And it was brought on by people. And it hurt me. It was devastating to me. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. The one thing that helped me through, that kept me strong, that gave me my strength, was what I'm telling you right now. What Timothy was told. Believe sound doctrine. Believe sound doctrine. And number two, defend your faith. Now, what do I mean by that? We saw that last week. You can make it through anything if you wholeheartedly believe and stand on the truth and you never lose your faith or err from it. No matter what happens to you, any problem that you face with people, where you're discouraged, where you're hurt, maybe you felt abandoned, anything that happens to you, you can overcome. If you don't, depart from your belief. You believe and stand on the what? The truth, and that is that Jesus Christ loves me. I am loved. I do matter. He cares for me. He gave His life for me. There's no other way to God the Father but through Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. I am saved. I am on my way to heaven. He wants for me to have a good life. Yes, bad things happen, but that's not Him hurting me. That's somebody else hurting me. Are you hearing me today? So stand on that, on the truth. Back it up. And don't ever lose your faith. And let's just be honest. How many you were hurt so bad, something in your life, and at least for a while you lost your faith? Can I see your hand? Look at this audience. This is crazy. Look at it. Look at it. This is real. This is who we are. So when you are discouraged, two things. You can make it through anything if you wholeheartedly believe and stand on the truth, and you don't ever lose your faith or err from it. Does not mean everybody that has walked away from you comes back and loves you. Or it doesn't mean that situation all of a sudden is going to be all better. No, it means you're going to be stronger. It's going to mean that you're going to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Which is all good, guys. You hearing me? Have I lost you? Come on, let's keep moving. Godly leaders, they do what? Stand on and defend what? Now, y'all sleeping on me one more time. Godly leaders, stand on. And they defend. It's what godly leaders do. Well, what about this and what about that? Well, what if it ain't the Word, it ain't Jesus, and you're telling me to stand on it? I ain't. You hear me? Say. All right? And you, what's up with all this faith stuff you have? That's absolutely, you spell my name right, Gary with two R's. I have faith in Jesus Christ, flat out. Not ashamed of it. Might come across as arrogant. Sorry. I believe in Jesus. He saved me as a hell-raising teenager. Saved my drunk mama. Why should I turn on Him to get to you? Ain't happening. I'm going to keep plugging. Keep loving. Keep believing. Amen? I'm just telling you. Now, it's not easy to do that when things get rough, but I'm telling you, that's the way to lead your life. You hearing me today? Keep looking. Here we go. Leaders lead. That's what leaders do. Now we're moving forward. Ready, Raj? You're worried about me, aren't you? They're trying to, because of me, they're going to try to put me on more of a timetable. Why you laugh like this? That hurts me. You hurt me. I'm going to stand on the truth and not ever my faith. You just hurt me. No, here we go. Come on. Let's go with the message. Here we go. Y'all alive? It's your choice. Because we're going to be here a while. Here we go. No, come on. Title of my message last week was Rise Up. Today, message two in leadership, give up. Give up. First things first. Let's go with the message, Raj. The word I came up with in my office as I was thinking about this passage, and I read this passage of Scripture again and again and again. I woke up in the middle of the night, I read it. This is a passage that I've seen before on leadership. As I focus on Timothy and the real man behind what was going on here, and he was discouraged. And as I'm trying to help people be leaders, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. And the word that came to me was priority. What's the word priority mean? It means to give precedence to. You might knew that already. Well, good. There you go. It means earlier in order of what? How many write little lists sometimes and you put the most important thing on the list that you got to do this right here? How many do that? Say, see, that's prioritizing. That's what you're doing. First things what? First. Okay. That's what the word means. The title again, give up. What do I mean by that? Leaders give precedence to things that are most what? Leaders give precedence to things that are most important. Now, you got to keep in mind, can you be a leader? Yes. No matter who you are, you can cop out on me if you want to, but you can be a leader. In some fashion, some situation, you can rise up and be a leader. Okay? Well, leaders are going to give precedence to the things that are most important. First things first. And here's what that means. It usually involves giving up what? Oh, boy. There, the leader list just went down. Your, etc. for the ultimate good of others, or God's plan, or God's will. If you want to be a spiritual leader, you're going to have to give up some of you. You hear me? Yes or no? You want to be a leader in your home, your friends, your business, whatever. If you want Christ to be honored and glorified in what you're doing, you're going to have to give up you. Some of yourself. Some of your desires, your dreams, your hopes. A lot of these things, but that's okay. You prioritize. Give up. Let's look at the message. Chapter 2. How can I be the leader God wants me to do? What am I going to have to give up? I've got to prioritize. I've got to make some things a priority. Say priority with me. You're doing great today. Thank you for listening. Listen, I'm serious. Priority. I've got to make some things a priority. Now, here's number one. This was Paul writing Timothy. Number one, first of all, that's what he says. First of all, what? Pray. Let's go to the Scriptures. I exhort you, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore that, what? First of, prioritize. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made to all men. So first of all, if I am going to be the leader God wants me to be, I've got to pray. You see now why so many aren't, yes or no? Absolutely. That's the first thing. Timothy's a pastor. He's there at that church. He's very successful. The first thing you do, pray. That's Paul talking. Pray for all people. You mean all people? All people. And then he gives these words. We'll look at each one of them quickly. Supplications. What does that mean? It means feeling the needs and pains of other people. If you're going to be a spiritual leader, a leader for God, someone who really cares for people and loves, we say here at Fellowship, we love Jesus, we love people. If you're really going to love people, you're going to pray for people. And you're going to feel their pain. That's what you do when you pray for somebody who's hurting and in need. It's called supplications. The second word, He says prayers. Prayers, that's the most sacred and holy aspect of worship. You praying to God, especially you praying to God on the behalf of someone else, is one of the most holy and beautiful and wonderful things you can do as far as God is concerned. Yeah, but I'm a leader. I want this position in the church. But you don't give jack squat, excuse me, about doing this. Say, come on, guys. This is the important thing. Are you hearing me today? See, I think that's why we miss. I think that's why people don't think certain people can be leaders, because they're looking more at position. They're not looking at this stuff. You think everybody can pray? If they're a believer in Christ, you think everybody can pray? Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. Pray. Prayers. The third word, it was intercession. So we should pray. First of all, pray for all people. Intercession, that means drawing near to God on behalf of who? Somebody else. See, that's what leaders do. We make other people a priority. Care, and we pray, and we intercede. This is what Paul's telling Timothy. Very, 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 very important, incredible. And number four, he says thanks, giving of thanks. But he's specifically saying a gratitude for the opportunity to serve people. As you're praying for people, this is a great opportunity that you have and that I have to love on people. You understand? Yes, sir. Did I lose all y'all? I'm not talking to a bunch of pastors. A bunch of pastors isn't going to reach Inglewood for Christ. It's us. You understand? Well, they're the leaders. Let them lead and let them do it. Did you know most people don't even want to listen to a pastor and give him 2 cents? That's why I try to be incognito most everywhere else. Just be average. Amen. Normal. Amen. Come on. Yeah. They're going to talk to you. And you're going to be able to talk to them. Amen. This is what he said to Timothy. Timothy, I know you're discouraged. Don't you deter from your faith and that sound doctrine. That's what you stand on, son. But then he moved him forward. You pray for all people. Boy, did he have a mess there at that church too, I believe. Pray for all of them. Amen? Second thing he said, interesting, to Timothy, he said, pray for all in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable what? Life. In godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The second thing that leaders is telling Timothy to do, not only just pray for people, pray for people above you. That situation, it was kings. It was either Nero was king at the time or Domitian. In history, you just go back and look. These guys' fancy was to take Christians and light them up on the stakes and light their cities with burning Christians. I think sometimes we can get overwhelmed or discouraged and not realize, you know, God, you never said everything was going to be perfect in my life. It wasn't always going to be easy. But I live in America. I pray for those in authority, from presidents. But here's what I do. There's not a Sunday that I go that goes by. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. That goes by that I don't sit out there in a truck with 6 or 7 men. And one of the things I'm saying it most often is, God, thank you for letting us meet in this facility. Did you know I have 0 to do with us meeting in this facility? All I can do is pray. All I can do is try to pray and conduct myself accordingly. And try to get you to conduct yourself as far as we don't leave slop and crap and junk around this building when we leave. We try to be clean. And if somebody's not clean, we got other people coming behind you that is cleaning. But I have to rely on people above me to be able to say it's okay. Because I'm not the authority. You understand? Did I lose you or not? You just can't go get this building and rent this building. And for 10 years, I want to be in good stead. I want to pray for them above me. I want the leaders in our community that know that Pastor Clark cares for you, prays for you. I love it when leaders in our community come to me for counseling. Why? Not that I'm some great leader. I think a lot of times it's because I pray for them and I care for them. Amen. Pray for those in authority. That's what he told Timothy. Why? Why should I do that? So we can live quiet and peaceful lives. Instead of bucking authority, sometimes leaders realize, I'm not going to buck that authority. See, real leaders, they prioritize. First things first, they make a priority. What really matters here? Have you ever done that? Say. Here's an old-fashioned word. It's called deference. I defer to pick a fight over that for the greater good. Amen? Say. That's what leaders do. Now, that's what servants do. That's what leaders do. Real leaders learn to defer. Have I lost you again? Good. So, this is the important thing. So that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and honesty. Keep going, Rod. You've got to push me now. For the glory of the Lord. That's why. For the ultimate good of who? See, as a spiritual leader, as somebody who's a child of God, who believes in Christ, who believes in sharing faith, and that's our mission, that's what we're supposed to do, that should be who I am. That should dictate me. I want to lead my life in such a way. I want to care in such a way because I know why I'm here on this planet. It's not about me, like the song said. It's not about. It's all about you, Jesus. Remember the song? Amen. Come on. So pray for those in authority. That's why we're here. We're here to reach people. We're to glorify God and to do what? That's why you're on the planet. I know you might have been told it's about this, this, this. I'm going to tell you something. You're here to glorify God and to reach people, to love people. Fellowship Church, we put it on everything we do. We love Jesus and we love. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. Amen? Number three, in case I put you to sleep on that one, come on. Try not to go sleep on me. Number three, he's telling Timothy, pray for all people, pray for those in authority, and remember, say this with me, people are the, one more time, people are the priority. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, that's the man Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul writing, he says, whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and I'm an apostle. He said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. He said, I'm a teacher of the Gentiles and all faith and verity. What is he saying? He's trying to tell Timothy, Timothy, remember, I know you're discouraged, but remember that's why you're here, son. People are what it's about. People are the priority. Okay? He said, they were to Jesus. And guys, if you'll get it down in your heart, listen to me, if you'll get it down in your heart that we hold the only answer to a man's soul for him to be saved, why would I be ashamed to share Christ with somebody? When that is the only answer. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man. His name is who? Jesus. And you hold the keys to introducing people to Jesus. So often we let the mess in our life stop us or get us not serving, get us to deter from the faith and what we're doing when we're the children of God. We're the only people that's going to tell somebody about Jesus. You hear me? Be encouraged. Yeah, but this happened and this happened and this happened. Man, you got to get over that. People need you. People were the priority to Jesus. They were the priority to the Apostle Paul. And they should be to who? Us, all people. All people. Okay? Now, let's keep moving. Number four, and we're getting somewhere. So how do I give up? Well, we're giving up a lot of stuff here. We're praying. We're praying for those in authority over us. We're realizing people are a priority, the priority. And he says again, pray for people everywhere. But he says these two words, without what? And let's read the scripture. Pop it up. Is it open to attitude or debate? This isn't open to attitude or debate. I don't know if we have that scripture. Do we have it there or not? We might have missed that one. But bottom line, it says, pray for people everywhere without anger or doubting. The word is controversy. We should care for people, pray for people, love people, people everywhere, and it should be without anger or doubting, or controversy. Okay? You're not being very spiritual when you pray for somebody, but you're mad about it. Or you're debating. So often in the Christian life, we debate with other people. We want to one-up the other person. We want to show we're right or they're wrong or we're this or we're that. Or we get mad. Christians get mad. Christians can be mean people. Did you know that? Say. They can be mean people. I've made a living of this. I'm telling you that right now. Okay? That should not mark us as leaders. You know what I'm saying? I say we don't get angry. The Bible says be angry, but sin not. But when we're praying and we're leading, I can see Timothy being angry, ticked off. And Paul's having to say, Timothy, pray, but dude, listen, do it without that anger thing that you got going on. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, you preach angrily sometimes. Well, probably. I mean, you know what I mean? Happens sometimes. Doesn't mean it's right, right? No. Okay? Give precedence to praying for people, praying for peace so we can reach people. That's what we've learned so far. And making God's mission for what? Which is people. Amen? Now, wasn't that a good message? And aren't we all ready to go home? And we could quit right now here and we get out on time. But we're not. Here we go. Here we go. Why? Because chapter 2 has more to say. And I want you to hear chapter 2. And I don't know if you're getting the message today, but I hope you're feeling it. I don't know for your situation where you're at today, but I hope you're getting to the message that some things are really important and you need to prioritize. And the most important thing is people. And I would encourage you to start with your family. Make the people in your family the most important people in your life. Okay? Well, they did this or they did that. How about pray for them without anger and controversy? How about defer? How about give up something maybe of you for the greater good of the family? Is that okay? Say. See how that might work? And then let's do that in church. How about that? Your church family. Instead of nitpicking and fault finding and mess like that. Wouldn't it be just a better place? Amen? Say. And then your workplace. Do you see how these things can really help you be a leader? Yes or no? How about on the ball team, coach? We got coaches in the room today. How about Coach Bears? How about if on the ball team we have this kind of, we make a priority of being selfless on the team? Is that going to make us a better team, coach? How about I got one of my football players right down here. Would that make us a better team? If team is the priority, son, is that right? Okay, and it ain't about you. You know that. Do you need me to come out and slap you? All right. Just sorry. I'm sorry. I lost it. Anyway, here we go. Back to the message. Come on. So that's what we've learned. Now let's move it forward. This is where you're going to get really like, what is he talking about? Here we go. The next 7 verses seems to switch subjects. What do I mean? I don't think so, first of all. I don't think it's switching subjects. Verse 1 through 8 said, say that word, men. Men. But do you think those things we just read are applicable to both men and women? Yes or no? Yeah! Why do I say that? Here we go. Because verses 9 through 15 specifically say who? Women. Okay? But I think both men and women can benefit as leaders if you'll listen today. I grew up a hellraiser, number one. Didn't know a thing about the Bible. I became a Christian when I was 16. And then I grew up in a very rigid denomination. Independent Baptist. Okay? Awesome on the teaching the truth and the Word. And the Word of God's inspired and infallible and all those good things. But along with that came a list of rules. Say rules with me. Rules. And also, in believing inerrancy, if it said it right there in that word just the way it said it, sometimes you wouldn't study a little deeper and find out what that word means. Because remember, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. The Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. It wasn't written in English. Do you understand that? I know we speak English and we think and everybody does now. That wasn't the way it was. Matter of fact, the language of the day when the Bible was written was the Greek language. How many ever heard of a guy named Alexander the Yeah, he conquered the world. Okay? Language like that went around the world. So, I think a lot of times we'll take something said in the Bible. Doesn't mean you can nitpick and all this kind of understand that, but we need to look at it a little closer. This is a perfect example. Number five, draw people to Jesus Christ by your devotion to God, that's your heart, and your deeds for God, that's your good works. Keep looking. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, that is some word, and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Now let's just handle this real quickly here. We need to draw people to Jesus Christ. How? By our what? Our heart and by our works for God. Amen? What's the point? Paul was trying to help Timothy because obviously, do you think Timothy dressed with broided hair and curls and pearls and gold and everything? No. He was probably having a problem with it. Okay? Something was happening. Okay? So he was trying to say, and I'm trying to help you as a leader today, how if we're going to lead and be a leader, we should lead by drawing people to Christ, by our devotion, that's our heart and our deeds, that's our works, not through what? Clothing. Not through, I don't have either. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? Jewelry, got that. Expensive status stuff. I go yard sailing and dumpster diving. Now, here's the point. Listen, here's the point. Did you know when you come here to church on Sunday morning, it's not the Gary Clark Fashion Show? Praise God. Amen. I heard a praise God out there. Did you know a lot of churches like that? It's what I wear. And I'm sure I've had people come one time, and because I wear jeans and a shirt like this, they can't handle it. It's just church different than they're used to. And we can say that's okay, but you know what I say? That ain't okay. It's not about us putting on a fashion show here. Y'all listening or not? Amen? This sweet lady right here, Miss Loretta, she told me this morning how years ago she came to Fellowship Church. She remembers her first time at Fellowship. She's sitting right down here in second row. You may as well wave at everybody. There you are. Yeah, I love this lady. She hugs me and loves on me every Sunday. But she said she came here for the first time and was here visiting and out back. And someone told her, well, there's the pastor. Over there, there's the pastor. And so she told me this morning, she looked. And she couldn't find him. Pop the next word up. Well, we didn't get there yet, did we? Modesty means avoiding self-exposure. We're to be modest. Do you think men should be modest too, say? We're not talking about just clothing. We're talking about exposing yourself or putting yourself out there before Jesus. And look at me instead of Jesus. You think that should happen, yes or no? No. Modesty means, self-exposure, but it's about Jesus, not me. If I lead somebody to Gary, this is my quote, all this is, if I lead somebody to Gary, I've led them sideways. Because I'm a sinner. Sinner to sinner, I just led you this way. But if I lead somebody to Jesus, I've led them straight up out of the hell in their life. Amen? Praise God. Come on. What's the point? Modesty means see through me and see Jesus. And I'm glad. Yay! That's my little one. How you doing? Hi. Hi there. Hi. Get out. Go. Here we go. Daddy! Here we go. Here we go. Can we go back? Can we go? So that's what Miss Loretta did. I wasn't dressed a certain way, looked like a certain... I'm not trying to put people down. I'm just trying to say, I said, you didn't see me. And she told me this morning, she now sees me and sees Jesus through me. That's not bragging on me. That's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. Come on. Amen? Come on. Let's keep going with this passage of Scripture. So, there was a problem with the women dressing and stuff like Timothy's having a problem. It's a cultural issue. It's back in the day. Things are happening like this back then. That's for sure it's happening. But don't you think that can go both ways, yes or no? Say, sure it can. But we came up with women are supposed to only wear dresses to church. How many ever heard that? Okay, absolutely. And then, you know, I remember a quote back in the early 1920s by a great preacher. He said that the showing of women's ankles, because they stopped wearing them on the floor and brought them right above their ankles, the showing of women's ankles are going to be the ruination of this nation. Do you think that's really what our problem has been? I don't think so. But, you know, and remember, it was, you know, only 150 years ago or so that women could own property, that women could vote. So many of the views that we have against women, I'm sorry, they're based in the Bible, guys. Ooh. That's because we're not properly thinking. We're not thinking right. We're forgetting this man, Timothy, was a pastor, and he's discouraged, and he has a church called Ephesus, at Ephesus, where the goddess in town was the goddess Diana. It was just a different, you know what I'm saying? This passage is in no way saying that women are not as good as or can't serve the Lord or can't lead. Did you hear me today? You can quote me on that. I don't care what any other pastor says. Okay? Now I'm going to hit one other one. Learn that having a peaceful demeanor and good attitude is far more effective than self what? And look at what these next verses say. Let the women learn in, say it with me. Can we say it loud? Let the women learn in. Y'all hush. We've been taught this. Now some of us older, or somebody like me. Let the women learn in silence with all what? Subjection. You think a man should sometimes be quiet? Yes or no? You think he should... Oh, praise me! Did you hear that? Yes. It's crazy. But look at verse 12. Watch this one. But I suffer... Look at. Say that word with me. I. Let's say I. I. Who wrote this to Timothy? But who? I, who is who? He said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man in my meetings, but to be in what? Silence. Silence. How many have seen Jeff Dunham and his little puppets? Ahmed. Silence. I kill you. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. But I suffer not, listen, women to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, this is Paul speaking, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. If you read that through carefully, guys, it's not saying that women don't have value. It's not saying that women can't lead. Okay? And I'm certainly not in agreement that women can't have a place in the church or speak in the church. Are you hearing me? Okay? And if anything, I can see me believing that more and more and more and shaking some of the shackles and things that sort of had me bound up. Y'all hearing me or not? Okay? What does that mean? I'm just trying to think like a normal person thinks here. I'm not Timothy. I don't have a problem with the ladies here. Do you understand? I think we can all be silent at times. We can all teach at times. We can all be in subjection at times. Do y'all get that or not? Amen. And we can all learn from this. Go back to that point. What was the point at the top? Learn that having a peaceful demeanor... That's what this is talking about. And a good attitude It's far more effective than what? Or position. Okay? Keep looking, Raj. We got to fly now. Timothy seemed to be dealing with women who were confrontational and abrasive. Remember who the goddess was in Ephesus? Her name was Jack? No, her name was what? Diana. This is a different culture where people are worshiping a female. Can you imagine trying to start a church in an area like that where there's that kind of worship and you're trying to teach the gospel of Christ and you can see it could be a mess. Is that true or not? At least think about it. These particular women had a bad attitude. They were interested in what? And seeking position. Wait a minute. Do men do that in church? Is it just the women who seek the position and seek to promote themselves in church, or is it men too? You think this is good for both of us, is all I'm saying. Yeah. Okay? How many women feel good about that? Can we praise the Lord, ladies? Come on, come on! Praise the Lord! Absolutely! The church, I'm done with the message, the church should never be a place where we promote ourselves or seek position for our personal glory. This should never be the place where that happens. Promote myself, seek personal glory. And I don't have the time to get into it, but I had one situation, it was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. One, it happened to be a woman. Very abrasive, very self-promoting. Went to others in her little group because she had this demeanor. Did you know she affected several people in a negative way? And ended up taking the whole thing down because of her bad attitude. You know what she is not? A godly leader. Did you hear me? Yes or no? We don't do that. That's not right. Same thing with guys. Have your little group. Get your little platform. Want your little position. Don't you think sometimes we should be silent and quiet, or we got to say it all? Shouldn't we be in subjection to the greater good? Yes or no? Yes or no? Absolutely, which is reaching people. Is that true? Yes or no? That's what this is talking about. I hope I hadn't lost you today. You've been in church. You've learned something. Amen? Leaders are not leaders who self-promote. Leaders are not leaders who lead this way. And I thought about this week, and I'm done with the message. I said in my office this week, if you see a billboard or you see a sign, it'll say Pastor Gary Clark on it. Sounds like I'm self-promoting. I'm not self-promoting. No one's told me I do that. It's just me thinking in my office, do I do this, Gary? Think about it. And so I know my heart. I'm proud to be part of Fellowship Church. I'm honored to be the pastor of Fellowship Church. I'm not ashamed to say I'm Pastor Gary Clark or go somewhere. And a lot of times, Fellowship Church, they put a face with fellowship sometimes. And even though it's ugly, it's my face sometimes. But I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives through me. And the life I now live, I live for the faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. I'm happy for Him to live through me. Jesus isn't going to walk through Inglewood, guys. He's going to use people like you and me. And so that's why I do that. So people can, when they come today, they might see, oh, Pastor Gary, and they can meet me, because I'm not going to come out the back at the last minute. I'm going to be out there loving and talking and trying to reach people for Christ. You understand today? Amen. I don't always get it right, do it right, but I want to do it right. Amen? I want to be a leader like that. I want to be a leader that prioritizes. Make people the priority. That's what we've learned today. They were to Jesus, and they should be to us. Leaders lead. Say it with me. That's what leaders. Praise the Lord. Let's thank Him for His word this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.